Welcome to the Latchkey Tales, Book 1, Yuki O'Malley and the Belfair, a tale of Victorian horror, written and performed for podcast by M.J. Hahn. Chapter 3, The Epitomical Makeover. December 9th, 1984. Walking in a pleasant daze, Tina Bleiberman seemed to drift to the glass doors which slid open automatically to admit her. Madame Lamalle's icy fingertips still lingered uncomfortably on her shoulders, a tiny annoyance that kept pecking away at Tina's otherwise splendid mood. They walked through a short corridor, up another staircase, and out into an enormously vast room. A large chandelier twinkled overhead. Tina squinted. The quality of the light was so strange, bright, but not harsh enough to cast shadows. Everything seemed to shimmer. Once outside of the direct line of Madame Lamalle's gaze, Tina's head began to clear a little. Suddenly it occurred to her that this old corpse's breach of her personal space was totally not cool. Tina moved the strap of her backpack over her shoulder, which broke Lamalle's light grip. Tina proceeded to put some distance between them, pretending to appreciate the vast interior. She went to lift a convincing finger and was suddenly staggered, realizing that she didn't need to pretend. The Belfair really was something. It looked like some kind of disco nightclub cathedral. Violet walls clashed with the numerous stately white marble columns, emphasizing the enormous height of the room. Everything was reflected in the glossy floor, an optical pattern of black and white, radiating from a black circular reception counter in the center. The groovy-looking floor pattern wasn't helping with Tina's strange, slightly dazed condition. She tried to resume her cool while navigating through several potted palms. They seemed to be everywhere, like an indoor jungle. A grand staircase of white marble rose from the opposite end of the room, topped with an archway and more stairs rising to the left and right. Beyond the arch was another large room draped in darkness that looked like some sort of conservatory. Madame Lamalle's high heels clacked on the marble as she moved lithely towards the center of the room. She rested a bony elbow on the counter and arranged her curtain of blonde waves over her shoulder. She grinned and gestured to a cluster of club chairs where a silver tray and several glasses had been laid out.
"Please, darling, won't you have a seat?"
Her voice was like moist ash. Lamalle smiled a professional strength smile, and Tina moved reluctantly to one of the chairs, while noting the apparent strain it caused Lamalle to be gracious while keeping that train wreck of a smile hitched up simultaneously. Tina sat shaded under a particularly large palm, her heels locked together, her backpack now held in front of her like a shield. Lamalle looked around disconcertedly.
"I'm sure Monsieur de Winter will be with us shortly."
Tina remained in full defense mode, her opinion of this woman becoming increasingly harsher and expletive-laden by the second. Lamalle tapped her purple talons on the counter, seemingly at a loss for any idle chit-chat. After a few moments of clumsy silence, she sighed a sigh that said, "Enough already." Tina, whose eyes had been downcast, staring at her steel-clad toes, sensed that she was being stared at. Something, incidentally, which totally pissed her off. She looked up defiantly to meet Lamalle's eyes and gasped. Lamalle stood poised like a cobra ready to strike, her eyes beaming like they were filled with liquid gold. Tina's brain flatlined, her posture slackened, and her backpack fell to her ankles. She lolled back pleasantly dazed, without a care in the world. Madame Lamalle produced a silver decanter which she gently shook. She poured two fingers' worth of an alarmingly green liquid into one of the glasses.
"Would you care for a cordial?"
she hissed, widening her enormous eyes, her golden irises pulsating. Lamalle handed Tina the delicate glass full of the acid green liqueur. Tina reached out as if on automatic, yet somewhere in the back of her mind, a tiny voice was screaming.
"Tina Bleiberman, you big lame-ass. What are you doing drinking something that crazy hag gave you?"
Yet the tiny inner voice died and shriveled away under the hard stare of Madame Lamalle. The figure of a woman standing under the archway at the head of the marble staircase drew Madame Lamalle's attention away from Tina momentarily, and once again, Tina's head began to clear a little. Tina followed Lamalle's gaze, trying to focus on the slight figure that had appeared. She was rail thin and dressed in a white kimono. She had long black hair streaked with silver that reached clear to the floor and trailed behind her. Madame Lamalle sneered.
Uh-oh, look who's up past your bedtime.
The woman in white did not respond. She remained still as a statue, her expression silent and opaque. Madame Lamalle scoffed and waved her hand dismissively as the sound of purposeful footsteps approached from the direction of the parking garage. Mr. Derventer marched across the room without a word. He darted up to the head of the marble stairs and threw himself between the woman in white and Madame Lamalle. The woman seemed immediately subdued by Derventer's presence. He wrapped his arm around her and led her, childlike, back up the stairs. A low, evil, raspy laugh drew Tina's attention back to Madame Lamalle. Her skeletal frame was still draped on the counter, her curls shaking with laughter at the scene. The silver decanter still swirled in her bony hand as she turned her lamp-like gaze back to Tina. And once again, Tina's apprehension melted away, and everything seemed perfectly fine. Lamalle closed in, staring Tina up and down with a look of pure disdain. Clearly there was some sartorial disparity here. Lamalle's gaze ended at Tina's crowning glory, her as nature woulda if she coulda, amazingly bright blue hair.
You're not gonna change my hair, right?
Tina managed to ask feebly while Madame Lamalle shrugged.
You know, actually, my dear, the air is not too bad.
Tina thickly nodded her head in agreement.
Yeah, my hair's bitchin'.
Madame Lamalle nodded back with a wicked grin.
Don't you worry, honey. We're gonna make you look real good. It's gonna be the best you ever looked.
Lamalle's evil, raspy laugh echoed off across the cavernous room, and Tina nodded, thinking this was all just perfectly fine. Derventer returned, composing himself and straightening the lapels of his black suit while he took in the sight of Tina Bleiberman.
Yeah, I see. It looks like you two have been having a nice little chat.
Lamalle looked delighted while her eyes leveled once again on Tina.
Oui, yes, of course. Oh, but our guest has not finished her drink. She is a stubborn little beast.
Madame Lamalle growled and turned up the voltage of her gaze. Tina, puppet-like, raised her glass and gulped down all of its contents at once. She didn't even notice the bitter aftertaste that remained in her mouth. A few seconds later, Tina's eyes crossed and she slumped over in her chair.
Yes, that's a good girl,
heard Lamalle, catching the glass as it slipped out of Tina's hand. Derventer raised an eyebrow.
We just need her relaxed, you know. Not pickled, my dear.
Lamalle stooped and poked at Tina's throat, checking for a pulse. She located the persistent thud of Tina's heart and smiled.
Oh, she's fine. Just a little marinated for you, n'est-ce pas?
Lamalle looked smug as she tucked an errant blonde curl behind an ear. Derventer tilted his head to the side, appraising Tina's hair as she sunk a little further down in her chair.
Actually, no, that's not a bad color.
The sliding glass doors opened, and Philgrave finally arrived on the scene, puffing and shuffling behind a rickety old wheelchair. His wrinkles quivered with delight when he saw the current condition of Miss Bleiberman. As far as he was concerned, it looked like a promising start. Without ceremony, Miss Bleiberman was dumped into the wheelchair. Her head tottered from side to side as Derventer wheeled her briskly past several potted palms towards the entrance of a gleaming corridor. Lamalle followed, the silver decanter dangling in her grip. She looked back at Mr. Philgrave, who was falling behind.
Come on, keep up, Silas. It's party time.
Philgrave trailed Lamalle's bouncing waves down the long hallway, which was covered from floor to ceiling with mirrored panels. Both seemed to avoid their reflections as they followed Derventer through a pair of swinging doors into his studio. Lamalle gaped at the recent changes Derventer had made. He had been working in seclusion for ages with Philgrave as they transformed the cavernous space. The remnants of the previous old salon had been cleared away, leaving something that could only be described as a laboratory. Various work tables displayed a wild mass of tubes connecting an assortment of alembics and retorts, all bubbling with mysterious solutions. But all this merely set the stage for what sat in the center of the chamber. Derwinter and Philgrave's new device. Years in the making, it had become their obsession. The result of Derwinter's mad genius, some borrowed ideas, and almost all of Philgrave's life savings. The dream of a fantastical panacea which could bring an end to all their woes and grant them that which had been sought after for as long as there had been alchemists. It looked like a black metal cylinder, roughly 6 feet high and nearly 8 feet long. The round hatch at the end was open, revealing an interior closely lined with what looked like long fluorescent tubes. The idea had occurred to Philgrave that he had financed nothing more than a glorified tanning bed, but as he looked closer, he realized that may have been a hasty assessment. Inside the dark cylinder, the glass tubes were radiating a strange, bone-chilling cold that made Philgrave suddenly shudder. An unconscious Tina was loaded onto a wire mesh table that stuck out from the device like a strange silver tongue. Derwinter rolled her inside, boots and all. He closed the hatch and gave the handle several turns until it was locked tight. He moved across the lab and took a seat behind a tiny computer screen. Madame Lamalle blew the dust out of a beaker and poured herself a cocktail from her decanter. Derwinter's computer came to life. The readouts glowed bright green as the device's system became active. The overhead lights dimmed and flickered as the device began to power up. Derwinter clicked a few keys, bringing up a graph that showed a single green line slowly climbing to 100%. He turned back to his small but riveted audience.
"It'll be just a moment."
Inside the cylinder, Tina slowly became aware of her surroundings. Sadly, this didn't amount to much except that she had a wicked headache. She was in the dark, and she was freezing. She extended a tentative hand and then flinched back suddenly. Whatever this thing was, it seemed to be unbearably cold. Tina's fingers nervously explored the freezing wire mesh she was lying on, while a thought occurred to her.
"I'm gonna be a popsicle like frickin' Walt Disney."
Despite the chill, Tina fumed, thinking that if she managed to get out of this, she would take it upon herself to make sure Philgrave and those other two freaks would each get a quality assortment of her finest ass-kicking. Tina's fury was suddenly interrupted by an ominous clunk, and then a potentially troubling whirring noise. She had to clamp her eyes shut against the light which flooded the cylinder's interior. The glass tubes around her now glowed with an intense purple brilliance that burned through her eyelids. The lights circled faster and faster, spreading their chill and freezing the air as the storm raged in her eardrums. An odd sensation rippled through Tina, almost like centrifugal force, pulling her towards the cold cylinder walls. Only it wasn't pulling exactly all of her. It was the strangest feeling. While Tina struggled to hold herself down, the inexorable pull tugged at her from all directions. Only Tina's absolute stubbornness seemed to hold her, anchored in place. While the thin mesh under her groaned, Tina managed to resist the pull for several seconds that felt like hours. Tina cracked a smile, thinking,
"Nobody pushes Tina Bleiberman around."
When all of a sudden, the device shifted into high gear. Tina gritted her teeth as the light and sound overwhelmed her. From somewhere, there came a horrible, tearing sound. Tina screamed with all of her might as the brilliance burned through her. The device powered down. From the outside, it hadn't really been much of a show. Derwinter sat behind his monitor, avidly watching his readouts. Lamalle looked over, noting his furrowed brow.
"Allez, what's the matter? Don't tell me you overcooked her in your little oven."
Derwinter didn't entertain this with a response, but he did seem puzzled by something. He stood, moved over to the device, and slid open a side panel. With a grim expression, he studied the machine's interior and cursed. Four glass vials attached to a network of tubing remained resolutely and problematically empty. Devinter poked around inside the device's innards, then turned with a sigh.
I can't explain it. It should have gone off perfectly. What happened?
Philgrave trembled, as if the failure he'd been anticipating had finally shown itself.
I don't understand. Everything was on track. There was some resistance, but after I increased the intensity, it should have worked. The meters all show there was separation, only I can't seem to find where it went.
Philgrave had gone a sicklier green color while Devinter scrambled to the hatch and strained with the handle until it finally spun open. Madame Lamalle sneered.
Well, that's marvelous.
She poured another cocktail and sauntered over to the computer screen. Squinting, she managed to decipher some of the readouts, and her enormous eyes popped.
Desmond, you've killed her. She's bone dry.
She said this as Devinter rolled the mesh table out of the mouth of the device. A roughly Tina-shaped pile of carbonized teenager was all that remained.
Yes, well, I suppose the process still needs some fine-tuning. Plus, she was a stubborn little thing.
You said a mouthful.
Philgrave's eyes glinted as he surveyed the pile of ash.
Brightside, it'll be easy cleanup this way. And it's not like she'll be missed by anybody. At least anybody who wasn't already on the list to get a makeover as well.
Lamalle raised her beaker and saluted Philgrave.
The more the merrier.
Sometime later, after everyone had left, after Philgrave had driven back to Oddfellows and Devinter had retired upstairs to his study to pace and scour over his notes, Madame Lamalle had decided that she was still thirsty and had disappeared with her silver decanter. Tina finally opened her eyes. She sat up triumphantly, looking around, still ready for a fight. Then Tina realized that she was alone. Her triumph was fleeting when she happened to look down at herself. Tina's eyes popped as she noticed that she was sitting in what looked like her own charred remains. She cried out while she moved her transparent hands in front of her face.
Sweet holy crap, Lieberman! Ugh! What now? Haunting? You've gotta be kidding me.
Tina still felt like her old self. Her lack of substance did nothing to dilute the rage which was percolating just beneath her pearly transparent surface. Tina tried to jump off of the table, only to discover that, indeed, a lot had changed. It took her a minute to work out how to move in her current condition. It was as if she was pure thought. She merely had to think, jump down off of the table. There was a shimmery blur, and just like that, she was standing. Naturally, Tina's next thought fell to dealing out some of her finest retributive skull thumping. Instantly, like some newly discovered instinct, her mind reached out and scanned the area. Apparently, her new condition also included the ability to detect the living, and somewhere close by, Tina could detect a life pulse that was sluggishly ringing. Something in Tina's ghostly brain clicked, and she recognized the pulse instantly. She was sure it belonged to Madame Lamalle.
Miss Disco Hippie Puke herself.
Tina's rage boiled over, and in a shimmery blur, as quick as thought, Tina shot out of the laboratory and streamed down the mirrored corridor following Lamalle's signal. Snoring under a large potted palm, Madame Lamalle was slumped over in a chair, her arms wrapped around the now empty silver decanter. Tina materialized in front of her, but failed to make any kind of phantasmal impression. It looked like Madame Lamalle had passed out some time ago. With a burst of fury, Tina squared off and took a swing at Lamalle, but her pearly fist passed right through the snoring figure, sending Tina careering head first into the floor. Reacting with pure instinct, Tina shimmered and instantly reappeared back on her feet in front of Lamalle. And this time, she aimed her steel toe squarely in the center of Lamalle's snoring face. But again, her boot swooshed through, merely disturbing a few strands of Lamalle's golden curls and a palm frond or two. Tina growled in frustration, pacing back and forth in odd, shimmery jumps. So far, as a ghost, she was hardly a force to be reckoned with. She was more like a light breeze. Tina frowned, glaring down at her boots. Her steel-toed docks had never let her down before. They were almighty and had always dealt out superbly unsurpassed ass-kickings.
So, what's the problem now? Aside from it's obvious, that is.
While Lamalle snored on, Tina stood there focusing, her anger and frustration throbbing through her in waves. Gradually, her boots seemed to coalesce and grow solid. With a mischievous grin, Tina watched as her solidity spread to her fists. She patted herself just to be sure and smiled.
A little focus, and we're back in business.
In a surge of pure punk rock bravado, Tina flexed her fingers and cracked her knuckles. The familiar crunch gave Tina an instant twinge of joy. In a sudden blur, Tina delivered a shimmering uppercut of such a force that Miss Disco Hippie Puke was sent flying backwards up and over her chair, the silver decanter clattering off into the distance. Tina snickered with supreme satisfaction at the overturned chair and the crumpled figure of Lamal, still unconscious, though now quite silent and snore-free.
Shabby, Blaberman.
While patting herself on the back, Tina's eyes shot towards the ceiling, her new scanner extending automatically. She was shocked when it bounced back just as suddenly. Tina's forehead wrinkled, and with a little grunt, she arched an eyebrow and sent out her scanner once again, this time with a little more focus. Same as before, it bounced resolutely back to her, revealing nothing. Yet this time, Tina was definitely sure she could detect someone up there behind all that nothing. She stared, determined to find a way through the strange interference. And as she concentrated, the edges of the disturbance seemed to fray like lifting fog, revealing a shadowy glimpse of Derwinter in some sort of library high above. Tina grumbled, hissing colorful expletives under her breath while she cracked her knuckles again. She clenched her fists and she prepared for liftoff, willing her big boots up into the air, when suddenly a wave of weakness ran over her. Suddenly it felt like all of her energy had drained. The room seemed to be spinning and it was taking everything that she had to keep herself in focus. Eventually the strain proved to be too much. She was too exhausted to concentrate and could no longer hold her shape in her mind. Tina winked out like a light. And so, Chapter 3 comes to a close. I'd like to thank special guest voices on this episode, Lisa Snare as Tina. Music on the program provided by freesound.org and in comptech.com. For more details, please check out latchkeytales.com or the Latchkey Tales fan page on Facebook. Please stay tuned for Chapter 4. And until then, this is MJ Hahn saying goodbye for now, and thanks for listening.